Hi, this is Stefan with a quick note before you enjoy the podcast. With this being our first, we hadn't decided if we wanted to use our real names or nicknames. We found it unnatural to carry on conversation without using our names, however, and we apologize for any confusion that this may cause while listening. Please enjoy. Welcome to the Knit and Spin podcast. I'm Tiny. Joining me are Chunks and Peaches. As this is our first pod of our podcasting journey, today will be more of an introduction. Peaches and Chunks, say hi.
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 So as I mentioned, today's topic is going to be more of introductions. So why don't you guys introduce yourself and tell us a bit about you?
I am Chunks. I'm pretty boring. I live a pretty boring life. I have a 3-year-old who takes up most of my time, who is really fun. I've been knitting off and on since, I think, 2014, but I took a break there when I was pregnant. So I would not say I've been knitting that long. That's the first kind of bit about me.
I am Peaches. I have been knitting basically since 2 years ago I learned how. My mom tried to teach me when I was 8, and that did not go very well, so I gave it up. And then 2 years ago I had a friend that was knitting, and I was like, you know, I'm going to try it again. So she showed me how to knit, she showed me how to purl, she showed me how to cast on long tail. And I stumbled and messed up a lot, but I got started and put it down probably for the last 8 months, or for about 8 months, and then picked it back up again a couple months ago. And I have always been interested in knitting and yarn works. And so I also like natural fibers. I guess you could call me a fiber snob because I really don't like the feel of acrylic. Yeah,
same.
And synthetics. But I don't feel like a fiber snob. I don't do it on purpose. I just really like natural fibers better.
And I think at some point down the road, that's a topic that we definitely want to explore further because, like, I could talk forever on just that.
Right? So that's how I got into spinning, is because I was like, well, natural fiber yarns are so crazy expensive. I bet I could make it cheaper. So I got started learning how to spin, and I've been spinning. First introduced myself to the art about a year and a half ago. Put it down because I was not very impressed with the videos I watched on YouTube. I just somehow my Google search did not give me good stuff. So I put it down, and then I got interested because you actually posted a article in a family group and said, hey, Kiviet is pretty interesting. I'm like, heck yeah, it is. And then I was like, you know, I could learn how to spin. Looked up some more YouTube videos, and I've been learning slowly since.
I do not spin. I would like to get started spinning. I think that's It's definitely a goal of mine, is to have you help me with that, which is kind of funny because I have a little more experience with knitting than you do, but you have more experience with spinning, and like at some point we're going to like level out. I wanted to learn how to knit, and all the way, like, it's very much a me fashion, if you know me. I was like, oh, I want to make this thing. I should just knit it, so I should just learn how to knit. My ex and I were planning our wedding, and he wanted to have a knit tie. And I was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if I made you one? So I suddenly went out and bought yarn and needles and taught myself how to knit on YouTube. And the first tie I made, like, looking back now, I see so many mistakes in it, but it actually was pretty impressive. And then I realized how much I enjoyed that. My life has taken a lot of twists and turns the past few years since I started knitting, and it's been a really helpful part of that journey.
That's cool.
Yeah. Which I think, so I started with ties. I made several because originally we were going to, I was going to try to make some for each groomsman. That did not end up happening. But after that, I had bought in, I made scarves. That was the next big thing, was that I started doing scarves. I did a scarf for myself because I needed one, and I was like, well, I'll buy the yarn and the needles, and that is when I found out that I love chunky yarn. I still do really like doing scarves. Then I did a really cool baby blanket. I started it when I was pregnant, but I didn't finish it till well after he was born. I have done several, what are they called? The, like, round your neck things in a circle. I think they're called cowls. Yes,
yeah.
Cowls. I've done cowls. I've done hats. Mostly I like to make fun hats for my son. He currently has a Yoda hat and a fox hat, and the fox hat has like a little cowl tail thing. Yeah, so that, and I'm working on my first shawl. It's a long project, but then I'm going to, once it's done, I could be like, I've made a shawl.
That's
so
cool.
That's the projects I worked on. I actually don't know, what projects have you knitted? Like, I see a lot of your spinning. Which I'd like to hear more about that, but what projects have you knitted?
I knitted, let's see, what was the first thing I knitted? It was a shawl, and I got impatient. It wasn't a pattern that said you have to do this many rows, and it's this and this and this. It was really simple. Yarn over, knit. Yarn over, knit. Yarn over, knit. Yarn over, knit. So I could go as far as I wanted. And I went until I got bored, and I was hoping to be big enough, but it was very much too small. So I sent it to my niece, who is considerably smaller than I am. Like, she's probably a quarter my size. And I started another shawl, a color block shawl on Ravelry, that was more specified of how big it was supposed to be, but still had room for make as many rows as you want. So I did that one. And I went a little farther, and it was still not too small for me. I can use it sometimes, but I don't love it. And it sat on my coat rack for about a year. So that's the one I was going to send to you and did not successfully get to you.
The reason I need this shawl is that my son recently started going to school, preschool, and he rides the bus. And I would like a shawl to wrap around myself as I'm putting him on the bus in the morning when I've got, you know, a tank top on or whatever, or I've got jammies on, or, you know.
I think it'd be like wicked cute doing that. Yeah.
And sometimes, and not so much in the morning, but, like, sometimes since I've got, like, curly wavy hair, if anybody does, the curly girl method, I do a little hair flop where it's, like, a hair towel all wrapped up on my head. Yeah. So I'm a very attractive out there with my hair flop and my shawl on. They're like, goodbye!
Oh, mwah! Don't have your hair in curlers.
He's not old enough to be embarrassed yet. Plus, I think he's the only... He gets on first, so, you know, it's okay.
Yeah, that's all good then. And then I started a yarn over shawl again for myself, and I got a cone of yarn this time. And I have determined I'm going to finish that cone. So however big it gets is however big it gets. I started a boomerang shawl because I got bored with that first shawl. I want to make mittens, but I'm scared of doing stuff in the round. I started knitting a scarf and did not get very far on that. That one I'm doing seed stitch. That's pretty much all the stuff I've made with knitting. I can't think of anything else.
Mittens reminds me. I have done knit mittens. I made convertible mittens for my son, and it's like the most hilarious thing because I didn't know how to do the like convertible top, so like that part's inside out.
And then
And then I wanted to do an I-cord string, and I really found out that I love knitting I-cord, and so I just kept going and going and going, and then I'm really bad at any type of judge of measurements, and so I just like made this really long string. It is extra ridiculous. Like, there's huge knots tying up inches of it. They still drag along. It's just like they're the most ridiculous mittens I've ever seen, but he loves them dearly.
That's awesome.
So they're definitely, once he outgrows them, because I don't think they'll fit next year, they're definitely going to go in some type of keepsake box, because, like, when you're, like, I think a lot of people, when they imagine, well, yeah, and I think a lot of people, when they imagine knitting, like, they imagine that, like, everything looks super homemade, but you can knit stuff that doesn't. Mm-hmm. There's, like, that is, it just screams homemade. It screams first time homemade mittens. And I thought, I made them last year, and so I thought, well, maybe he'll only wear it for a couple months, but just they actually fit this year, so he's gotten a good year and a half use out of them.
Nice.
And then I made his the next size up, so he has some for next year, because I wasn't sure. And then I made myself some mittens as well.
Cool.
So I have also done mittens.
And as far as spinning, I have spun about 43 and a half yards of plied alpaca. I started with alpaca, and it was not very easy going, and then I heard I was starting on hard mode, and that I should try other fibers, particularly wool, like BFL or blue faced Leicester, and if I'm saying that wrong, I apologize, and Corriedale. So I got some of those and tried, and I like those too. I got some merino, I got mohair. I hated the mohair. It was soft and fuzzy and felt like I was spinning my own hair off of my head. And as I was spinning it, the hairs were just so,
it's like the glitter of yarn.
I think it might be, and it's very hairy, and I don't know why I didn't expect mohair to be hairy, but I didn't. And so I put that down, and I'm going to let somebody else try that if they want to. But I've spun a little bit of stuff. 43 and a half yards is my first plied, and I also have my first chunks of singles, and they are really, really bad, and they're not going to get plied. So from the first plied forward, I'm going to start using it. But 43 and a half yards is not enough to make anything yet, so we got to spin some more.
That plied stuff looks really good, too, because it's black and brown and white alternate. And then once you plied it together, it's formed this really cool pattern in the yarn.
Mm.
I am a sucker for black yarn, too. I love black yarn. A lot of people don't, but I am a sucker for it.
See, I wouldn't imagine that knitting with black yarn would be very comfortable. But I'm kind of on the blind side.
It's difficult. Knitting with black yarn is difficult because it's hard to see what you have done.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I made, it was similar to cowl, is I made a dickie for my son's dad to wear under his motorcycle helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And I used a black yarn for that. And I also started with a black yarn for ties. Like, I also just jumped in hard mode. I was like, yeah, sure. I don't know anything about knitting. Let's go with black yarn. Because I love black. Like, I wear black a lot. And it's useful. But when I was making it, somehow I got to a point where I was binding off and I had one too many stitches.
Oh, no.
But, like, when I looked at that whole cowl, I examined the whole thing, and I could not find the error. And I was like, if I cannot find the error, surely no one else was. So, but with that pattern, it works, but if you're doing it something more complicated where, like, oh, you messed up and you needed to find it, it is, like, impossible to find.
Wow.
Yeah. So I am interested in spinning, but I have not gone down that journey yet. A lot of it's just kind of time, energy, and money. Like, I only recently, like, about last year, I started taking up knitting again, and I've only recently had, like, time in my schedule where I'm not spending 24/7 with a kid to learn something new. But as that changes, I am interested in learning how to spin. Knitting, I don't know where I'm going to go next with knitting. Like, once I finish the shawl's the first time I've done lace, and it's taking me a long time, so I'm not really sure where I'm gonna go with that. I actually really like knitting hats, but I don't wear hats, so there kind of hits to be a wall there. One of the big reasons why I want to spin is because I find the crafting very soothing and helpful for me, and I feel like if I get the fiber and then I spin it and then I knit it, I am getting more for my money. Like, I am getting more time doing what I want to be doing for the same price. And I've never actually priced it out, so I don't know. It could just be worse, but at least, like, I'm spending, you know, twice the amount of time doing it, or however, I don't know what time it looks like.
Yeah, it takes a while. Well, that's not necessarily true. It depends on how quick you are and stuff like that. I spin with a spindle right now. I'm interested in getting a wheel, but I don't have a wheel. So spindle spinning takes longer than wheel spinning, yeah. Obviously, because wheel is more production. But, yeah, I mean, if you're not pressed for time, like, some people spin with a project in mind, and I'm not like that because I just want to spin to spin. Projects will come as I have yarn. So if you're doing it just for hobby, you know, and you don't have a deadline like, oh, I have to get however much spun by this date so I can knit this by this date, then yeah, it's relaxing, it's fun, it's, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, we both kind of talked about how we're both yarn snob or fiber snobs or yarn snobs. I know I kind of sometimes do both, where like one of the projects I have on my to-do list is I have yarn to buy to make my set of frog hat. Mm-hmm. But then I also, a lot of times, like when I travel, my budget for, I guess you would call like souvenir budget for myself, I guess spending money on trips, I generally set aside some to buy yarn at a local yarn store.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, and so that makes the yarn budget better. And most of the time when I'm going to a yarn store out of town, I'm not looking for a specific project. I'm going and saying, like, I want to find a cool store. I want to get something. Sometimes I try to get something that's unique to that area.
What feels good, what looks good, what trips my trigger.
And so sometimes, like, I buy something, like, when I was in Denver a couple months ago, I bought some yarn, and I have no idea what I'm going to do with it. But then that's also kind of great, where if you're in a funk, I'll just grab, where it's like, I don't know what I want to knit. Like, I'll grab a yarn that I have in my stash that feels really good to me in that moment, and then go on Ravelry and be like, what can I make with this? Or I'll, or if it's like, I need to make a gift for somebody really quick. It's like, what do I have in my stash that I can do? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, you know, so that stretches my budget. I don't know how to explain this. I feel like local yarn stores are really important. Mm-hmm. I'd rather give my money to somebody at a local yarn shop than to a big box store in my thing. And generally speaking, I find you're getting a lot more help there. You're getting a lot more...
A better experience.
Yeah, a better experience. I've been to some yarn stores I don't like, and so it's like, oh, I'm not going to come back to that. But then I've been to ones that I absolutely love. And also, I have one that I go to in my town, and they do different sales and whatnot, so I try to take advantage of that because I do have a very limited budget being a single parent. But that is also, I feel, worth it because... It's like, maybe I will spend $20 on yarn for this thing. But it's like the amount of time that I get from that, it's like I would spend $20 to go to the movies, and I'm going once. And it's not really fulfilling my life. I'm not doing anything with it.
You don't have the satisfaction of having made something.
Yeah, and it's a nice thing to do for gifts for people that appreciate it. Some people don't appreciate handmade items, and so it's not worth it. Because, like, I can get maybe, you know, a $10 thing of a $10 skein of yarn and make a really cool cowl with it. And that person's going to appreciate it much more than anything else I could have gotten for $10. So it's $10, you know, and time. And it's like, could I go buy a cowl cheaper than $10? Yes, but that's not the point. Yeah, so that's kind of where I at with my investing in things. I don't know where you're at, because I know we've talked about different things you've invested in and why you think it's worth it. So what, like, how much are you willing to invest in your knitting and spinning endeavors?
I am willing. It depends on the budget at the moment, honestly. I kind of, like, when I go to a larger town that has yarn shops, because there's not, as far as I know, we've only lived here a couple years, but I don't think we have any yarn shops here in town. So when I go to a town that has yarn or has crafting supplies or whatever, I always want to buy something, but how much I buy depends on that. So as far as, like, knitting needles, I'm ashamed to say I got my knitting needles on Amazon. I did not support a small maker with my knitting needles. But I also get stuff, like, if it's on clearance, I'll pick up stuff for cheap if it's whatever. As far as my spinning, however, I've been supporting Etsy shops with that, for fiber and for the spindles themselves. I was able to find some, like on the subject of spinning wheels, I was able to find some plans online for free. I don't remember the website, but I will look it up and we can put it in show notes if you guys want me to, so that people can see that. But at any rate, we have a family member, extended family member, that does woodworking and is interested in the challenge of making a spinning wheel. So I don't get to know anything about that until it's done. But in a few years, there might be a spinning wheel in my future. And so I'm willing to invest in that.
I know also on the spinning wheel, I found, like, the one you found is really cool with, like, lots of woodworking. And I know, I'll have to find it again at Etsy. There's one where you can buy the plan. And that one had, in my opinion, a lot more, like, the items required to make that wheel seemed a little bit more accessible than, like, from scratch woodworking. So that's also another option for people who are interested. Cause that might be the road I go down, because I know I might buy that plan, but a lot of that stuff, since my dad's in construction, he can be like, oh, I got this at this site or this at that site.
Yeah,
so that's absolutely another, like, option.
And I saw, if I'm thinking of the right plans, it looked like the wheel was made out of, like, a bike wheel.
Yeah.
So you could totally upcycle and recycle stuff. Get something from a junkyard and use it for parts, you know? Like, absolutely.
Yeah. And, like, I think Etsy is a really good way for people who live, like, in your neck of the woods, in the middle of nowhere, to still support people who hand make things. That's a nice, like, you can get yarn on there, you can get fiber on there. And if somebody, like, wants to buy yarn at a big box store, or they want to, like, buy all their stuff on Amazon, like, that is great.
Mm-hmm.
That is good for them. Like, I know a lot of people who make a lot of stuff that way.
And cost, like, is a factor, honestly and truthfully.
Yeah.
Like, my yarn is all, I don't, apart from the yarn I've spun, all my yarn is, like, box store stuff, clearance here and whatever there. And so, you know, I mean, cost is a factor.
Yeah. Knitting is such a great thing that I don't want to, like, gatekeep it. Like, I buy what I want to work with, and I invest more in that because that's, like, I've got my own sensory issues and whatnot. But I think sometimes you also get people who are like, well, if you're not knitting with, like, hand-spun, hand-dyed yarn, you're not a true knitter. I'm like, no, if you are knitting with scanning yarn you got with your, pure acrylic that you got at a store with your 60% off coupon, like, go you, because knitting is a great craft no matter what you're actually working with. Like, it's the skill and the time and the energy.
And you're still making it. You're doing it yourself. It's a handmade love, I mean, a gift from love.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think we already, and I guess that kind of brings us into the, like I said, I've got sensory issues, so that's one reason why I knit. I like the way that yarn, different yarns feel, and some I like more than others. I grew up with a mom who sews, and so I would go to the fabric store and, like, touch everything, but I don't sew well, and because of the life I lead, like, sewing is a much more difficult hobby to me. Like, you have to be home. You have to have stuff out. You have to have the sewing machine going versus It also is a little bit isolating to me. I like being crafty and making things. Like, I like baking. I think we talked about, this is kind of off-topic thing, like, I'm trying to make a sourdough starter. Like, this is the thing I like to do. Mm-hmm. The knitting, for me, is great because I can move it. Like, I can take it with me to my son's appointments. I can have it in the car if I get stuck waiting for prescriptions or
super whatnot. Super portable.
And I have some social anxiety, and I kind of fidget and whatnot. So it's a really acceptable fidget. If you're mm-hmm. sitting there bouncing or moving or rubbing your hands or snapping or whatever, that can be super distracting to people, even just like in a waiting room. But if you're knitting, it's kind of, you know, it's a lot more acceptable of like, hey, you're doing something productive. And it's a little bit less distracting. I've even, when I go to like a presentation of sorts, like say somebody's giving, you know, some type of demonstration or whatever on a stage, and it's in English and I'm trying to pay attention, I sometimes have a hard time paying attention, but actually having the day, depending on the pattern, if it's a difficult pattern, it doesn't work. So I like to always have something on that's more like mind numbing. I don't mm-hmm. like doing mind numbing stuff like while I'm watching TV, but mind numbing stuff is great when you're just, you just need something in your hands to be moving. It's great for that. Like, if I need to be paying attention to something, I actually remember more if I'm knitting because I'm not trying to stop fidgeting all the time. I have something going. Mm-hmm. It was great for, like, any type of anxiety. Like, when I flew to Denver and was riding the bus and stuff, there was some anxiousness about timing and whatnot. And I'm not thinking about that if I've got something in my hands. And it's just very soothing for me. But the tactile aspect of the yarn is great, too. It's all just all around. It's just all around a great thing for me personally.
I like, as far as with spinning and knitting too, but as far as with spinning, the feel of the fiber or the yarn, because I only buy yarns that I like the feels of. So
yes, that is a very good yarn. Like, if you do not like the way it feels in the skein, you will probably not like the way it feels while you're knitting. Like, right? once you block it, it might have a different feel. Like that, one of my mittens I knitted, but like while I was knitting it, I hated it. Like, once I blocked it, I feel great. Like, it feels great. But yeah, so if you do not like the way it feels in skein, you're probably not going to like the way it feels while you're knitting. But go ahead.
Yeah. So I only use fibers that are calming to me and that I like the feel of them. Something about the rhythm of the spindle, like when I can spin it good, it's kind of a challenge to me. Can I spin it and get it going smooth? Because obviously you want it smooth for better spinning, but like that's a little challenge I have. And I'm still new, so I'm still parking and drafting, and I'm trying to get myself to where I can just spin and draft at the same time. But, you know, I'm improving, but I'm not there yet. But the feel of that, the challenge of that, the satisfaction of making something with my hands, with spinning, it's also about the consistency and the thickness of your single that you're spinning. So the challenge of that, the concentration, I'm on Reddit and I've read a few comments people have made about with consistency. Well, and I guess on YouTube videos also, the part of the comments are about consistency and that you'll get consistency when you have muscle memory, and you get muscle memory from practice. And I believe it. It's true. I'm not there yet, but I'm trying. But the journey to get there still feels good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that attitude that you have is the same for knitting, or is it easier to apply to spinning?
It's easier to apply to spinning, but knitting, when my friend started teaching me a couple years ago and I learned to knit and purl and that was all I was doing, I would work on it in the evenings while my husband was watching TV. And
oh, that's a perfect time to knit because you got stuff going on. Yeah.
Or playing games or whatever. And I am not a TV person. I hate the TV. It would be better for me if TV was never invented, but I know that would also get us to where we didn't have computers, la, 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 whatever. But I hate TV, never liked it. And having something to do productive with my hands makes me not hate sitting there idle, because I'm not idle. I'm doing something.
Yeah.
And knitting calms me and helps me mentally relax to go to bed and just fall asleep. And that was really, I like that too. So if I was working with a yarn that I hated the feel of, the texture was just not clicking with me, that would not calm me and help me get ready for sleep. I'd still be productive, but you know, that's not all of what it's about for me. So
that's the one. No, there's probably lots of differences between us, but that is definitely one that we disagree with. I like TV. I like certain shows and certain things. I'm a nerd, so there's a lot of nerdy stuff I like. But I find myself grabbing my phone and doing stuff on my phone while I'm watching TV. And I don't like that. I have ADHD, and so that's a big thing that is, like, knitting is really great for me to kind of control some of those symptoms. And it's, like, I can't sit still. Like, I can't just have one thing going on unless I'm hyper-focused, which is not always, you know, it's its own thing. And so I like to knit while I watch TV because I get the enjoyment from the TV show, but I don't get that anxious feeling of, like, I should be doing something else. I should be doing something else. So I am doing something else, but I'm still enjoying the storyline or whatever joke was made or whatever visual is being displayed. Like, I find that a good balance, especially when being a new mom, I get to a point like maybe a year after he was born where I felt like I lost myself because I just didn't have time for anything. And so I've had to find ways to like make my time stretch where if I am in the car, I am listening to a podcast, which is part of where we got onto this whole thing is a podcast. I'm listening to the podcast while I'm in the shower or I'm getting dressed and, you know, or while I'm cooking, you know, I'm knitting while I'm watching TV. So I'm getting more of my TV time. So I'm getting, you know, that satisfaction and good sensory input from knitting, but still getting, you know, the mental input of a show I like. So that is a good thing for me. I like the TV. I like knitting while I watch TV, which I don't know if lots of other people do. It can be sometimes hard if it's a pattern, like the lace pattern I'm working on when I'm in the lace sections where like, I'm like, then I'll go back and I'm like, oh, I made this huge mistake and I have to go fix it. Sometimes it depends on the pattern. Like this pattern is kind of self-correcting where if you do something wrong on the row before, like say you get on the, I guess on the odd rows, if you do something wrong on the odd rows, as far as the lace chart goes, it like the next time you come to an odd row on that chart, it's not going to work right because you have to have a certain amount of stitches. So then you have to go back and fix it. And that scenario, it can be frustrating now that it's getting bigger, but I'm getting much better at fixing my mistakes. But like we talked about earlier with the dicky thing, a lot of times if it's something where the mistake isn't going to severely impact the design, it's just like a little bit of a mistake or it's like, wait, it's not going to affect how the item is worn. Then I try to let it go. Because in my mind, like I said before, my mom sews and I cannot handle sewing because to me it's harder to fix something when you're sewing. And I would like make a mistake and my mom would be like, well, look at things you buy off of the rack. Look at all the mistakes they have and people are spending money on it. And so I kind of sometimes feel that way about knitting. Like it's not about perfection. It is about the process, and 90% of the time, the person who's wearing it has no idea there's a mistake there. Every time I make a mistake, I'm learning something new. That's like when I made the tie, it took me like a lot of starting and stopping and making mistakes to get it, but then I made it. And then like recently I did an I-cord binding on a Yoda hat I made for my son, and I started and stopped that at least a dozen times. But I just stuck with it and realized like each time I get to a certain row and then I'd be like, oh, I'm making this mistake now. But I stopped making the mistakes I made previously. So I try to balance not frustrating myself with something that's too hard and making sure I'm choosing patterns that are I try to have an easy pattern now that I've knitted long enough to have some that are easy on my needles for when I need it. And then I have a pattern that's more challenging because I like to choose a pattern where I'm learning at least something new, or I'm doing a technique I've never done before. Even if it's like, I'm going to do a new cast on with this, or I'm going to, you know, try this or that differently. So I try to challenge myself, but it's a hard balance of picking something that's challenging, but is not too challenging.
Yep, I can see that. Right now for me, everything knitting is challenging. So I have simple projects, and when I get tired of working on one, I work on a different one. And sometimes I don't feel like doing that stitch, I'll do this other stitch. So I work on this other project. Yeah.
So we did not really talk about why we decided to start a podcast.
Oh, that's true. So I remember from high school, which was like a million years ago for me, that my senior class had quotes in our school newspaper. And one of the persons in my class used the quote, pardon me, that I don't remember who said it, where it's from. I don't know if this person invented this quote or if it was someone famous that said it first. I don't know. But they said, if there's a book you want to read, you have to write it if it's not already written. I guess that's not the exact quote, but that's the gist of it. That yeah. If there's something you want to see or do or hear or experience and it's not existing, it's up to you to make it. So I've been looking for a podcast about the journey of learning to spin and knit. Because, you know, I'm not good at that.
Yeah.
But I've been looking for something about the journey and starting and someone else's experience. And I couldn't find one. So if there is one out there, you know, email it to me and let me know. But I couldn't find one on the podcast apps I've been using. So I talked to you and said, hey, you want to do this? And you said, hey, let's do it. So tell me what you were thinking when that was all happening.
I really liked that quote. And I don't think I ever had looked at a knitting or spinning podcast. Like, that was not even a thing that was on my radar. Most of the podcasts I listen to are more for, like, NPR type of thing. Because I said I'm a nerd. And so I thought that if that was the thing you were looking for, maybe other people were looking for it. At the very least, it's a thing that you and I both enjoy talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that pushes me out of my comfort zone a little. I've had issues with my speech as far as, like, I talk too fast or I talk loud or whatnot that I've been critiqued for my whole life. Like, I stutter. I stumble a lot. And I've made a lot of progress personally in the past few years with accepting who I am. And mm-hmm. I thought that this would be a good thing that, like, I originally said, I was like, I would enjoy doing that. And I could kind of hear the inner voice telling me all the reasons why I shouldn't. And I was like, you know, none of those reasons are really valid. Like, at worst, I enjoy talking about it, and we're going to get some really interesting conversations out of it with my friend. And if somebody wants to listen to that, great. And if no one ever listens to that, I'm also okay with it. Like, I don't feel like this is a thing that I have to go out and, you know, advocate for, share with everyone. It's like, you know, it is a thing that I'm going to enjoy doing with my friends. And it's a thing that if we want to talk about, maybe other people want to talk about too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're here for the fun of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess that's where I come in, because you guys needed someone to help make it. And I love a challenge. And so I'm all for trying to edit this mess and get it in a podcast format and figure out how to publish it and all that.
Which is something I definitely appreciate, because when Heather first brought it up, it was very, like, I was really excited, but I was hesitant, and I think she caught on to that a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason, like, and so you asked me, like, why am I hesitant? And there are some, like, different obstacles we talked about. But when Tiny was like, yeah, I can do this, this, and this, I was like, okay, I can do this. If it's me setting aside time to talk about knitting, I can handle that. I was like, all the other stuff, like, am I capable of doing that? Yes. Is that a thing that I mentally want to take on right now? No. So when Tiny was like, yeah, I'll handle it for you guys, I then got really, really excited about doing it because it became a project that I felt like I could actually tackle.
And I think it's interesting that all of us have, like, the things that we're, our propensities that we're drawn towards or good at. And setting up the podcast is something that Tiny was super excited to get into, researched, did a lot of the legwork to get it started. And that's something I needed because I was like, I don't even know where to start. So, yeah, I think it's interesting how it kind of just came together.
Yeah, I'm very excited to add this podcast to my crafting journey.
Right.
I'm not going to lie. Part of the reason I was so hyped to do this is I've been wanting to do a podcast myself, and learning how to do this would help me start one as well.
We're going to have a whole podcast family.
Right. So how do you feel about errors and mistakes and the learning process? What's your attitude? How do you view your errors? You know, like for me, for instance, I want things to be good and perfect and right. And I don't want to start out looking like a newbie. I want to start out looking like I know what I'm doing. But I also recognize that's not how life works. So there's going to be errors. There's going to be mistakes. There's going to be inconsistencies at first. So, you know, the Japanese philosophy towards errors and mistakes and imperfections, there's one that they honor the imperfections, and there's one that they accept the imperfections.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of a bowl, like a clay bowl that had cracked and broken, and it was fixed with gold something. It was gold and shiny, whatever the thing they fixed it with was. So that's not me. I don't honor my imperfections, but I accept them. They're going to happen. I just got to get past it.
For me, each time that I started taking up knitting or a new project or a new challenge, there generally was something else going on in my life where confronting my attitudes towards the mistakes and errors and learning process of knitting very much so mirrors my life of me accepting who I am, accepting where I'm at in my life's journey, and accepting the fact that I am good and I have value and I can stand by the decisions I make and the things I do, even though I am not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So there are definitely times where I hit an error or something in my knitting, or I'm getting frustrated by the process. And if I'm feeling that way towards something in the knitting, like what I've knit, or where I'm at, where I'm like, I wish I could do this thing, and it's really causing me a strong emotion, I know that emotion is tied to some other feeling I have. It's tied to some other mistake I made when I was younger, or it's tied to me for a long time putting my value in other people's hands. You know, it's tied, you know, if I'm putting my value of myself, you know, into a project or whatnot. So generally speaking, when I hit something, I try to accept, like, your feelings are your feelings and you cannot change that. Like you can work on them, but just because you feel something doesn't mean it's bad. So I've accepted, like, because I sometimes spiral, I'd be like, I'm making a mistake. I'm upset about that mistake. I shouldn't be that upset about a mistake. And I would just, like, cycle through that.
Mm-hmm.
And now I address it. It's like, I make a mistake, and if I get to the point where, like, I'm really upset about that, a lot of times I'll step back, or if it's a project where I'm struggling, like, maybe it is something in my wheelhouse, but I've had issues, like, with different medications in different parts of my life where I took some of my very treasured amount of money for yarn, and I spent it a lot on this yarn, and I got this pattern, and I was really ready to tackle it. And then my hormones shifted because my son stopped nursing, and I actually haven't gotten back to that project, because at the time it was something I could have tackled, and now it's not. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the learning process. And so when I have those big feelings, I accept them and I address them. Sometimes I step back from that project and do something else. And I just kind of explore. I'm like, am I really mad that I made this error? Like, am I really that mad that I did a slip-slip knit instead of a, you know, knit two together?
Yeah.
No.
Like, what?
Is it simple? It's like, I am mad that I am not, you know, better at this or better at that. Like, it's just, there's always something else there. So when I have errors and mistakes, or I'm confronted with difficulties in that process, I try to figure out what the underlying cause is. And sometimes it is just, I'm mad because I'm tired and I'm not taking care of myself and I wish I had more time to knit. And it's like, cool, well, I'm going to step back from that, get some sleep, take a couple days off of knitting and try again. Like, I used to think I had to keep going or had to knit every day. And it's like, you know, that those are good goals, but I'm not going to require myself to do something that's going to hurt my me further.
I'm really glad you addressed that, because a lot of times when I'm making mistakes and when I'm messing up and when I'm angry, it is really because I'm tired or I'm hungry. So just stop, take a nap or sleep for the night, eat some food. Maybe I need coffee because whatever reason, but take care of that first.
I never put, like, your self-worth or value or attitude towards yourself into something that is outside of yourself. Like, don't ever put it in somebody else's hands, and don't put it in a project. Don't be like, I made this mistake, and I'm a worthless knitter. And it's like, no, you're not. That is not your, a piece of, I don't know, yarn or needles or fiber. It does not get to decide your value or your skills as a knitter or a spinner. Like, nothing gets to decide that, so.
So what do you hope to get out of this journey as far as the podcast is concerned?
Learning how to edit.
I hope to improve skills and learn skills, and I would like to teach others. I would like to... Okay, one of the books I read when I was first getting started spinning, the author said to take your spinning with you because, or she always took it with her because she would be in public and people would ask about it. She'd have an extra spindle and some fiber to give them and get them started. And I was like, that's awesome. That is the best way to propagate the craft is by just doing it. And people that are interested will say, and you'll get them started and whatever. So I'd like to get to the point where I can help people get started.
I'm mostly just excited to get on a new journey with knitting and fibers and to ride the journey and see where it goes. I don't really have a big end goal, which is just kind of a, which is actually progress for me as a human being. Like, I'm going to take it one step at a time, and I think it's going to be good. I'm looking, like, forward to getting, how do I explain it? Like, we've talked about kind of what we're going to do. I like the idea of being able to put a random thought and be like, oh, I found this thing, and I want to talk about it on the podcast sometime. Like, I like the idea of being able to put some of these thoughts that are random in an organized fashion out there and see where it goes.
And share the experience with someone.
Yeah, I agree.
I know I irritate Tiny so much when I talk about spinning and knitting, and he's just like, oh, shut up already.
Yeah.
So having someone I can talk to about it that is as or almost as excited as I am is very encouraging.
And I think it'll get better as, like, I do eventually get my own spindle and stuff, and I do start spinning. And, like, the more you get experience with knitting, like, or excitement, like, I am excited about your spinning stuff, and it's sometimes just like, I don't understand it. So I am definitely excited to see how, like, your spinning journey goes and how that kind of flows in the other, like, the knitting. Like, I feel like at some point, which I said earlier, you're more experienced with spinning and I'm more experienced with knitting, and we're going to, like, meet in the middle sometime, like the two trains and the math problem.
Yep.
Absolutely. It'll be a happy explosion. It'll be great. There'll be yard everywhere.
That's
yard
right.
Yard coming out of all of the train cars because we will have mastered each craft.
That's right.
What projects do you have that you want to talk about?
So I would just like to share that I have been spinning through this whole podcast, and...
Ooh, that's cool.
Yes. I don't know that I've made visible progress on the fiber I started with, but... Yeah. It's fun.
My son attends a school that is in a low-income area. Like, this is public information, where like 85 or 90% of the kids get free lunch, and then like another 5% get reduced lunch.
Wow.
Which is like huge in my area. This is the school he goes to, and the school is great. And today they had a big box there of just like hats and gloves and scarves and coats that anyone could take. And it kind of made me think of, like, I knit for myself, I knit for gifts and whatnot, but I do really like knitting hats, and I do really like making these animal hats and whatnot, and some of these stuff that my son outgrows, I'll probably keep, but I do think, like, I can't
keep
every fun
hat.
We could donate! Yeah, no, we could donate there, and even some of the stuff, like, yeah, we could donate, I could make stuff and donate it, especially, like I said, the fun animal hats and whatnot. Like, a lot of it was just cheap stuff, and, you know, or it was, like, old stuff. And I'm like, what, you know, the kids in his classroom love the hats and stuff that he wears. Mm-hmm. It would be cool to, like, make one and throw that in the box. Something, you know, special for a kid to have. Or, like, Nicola does not, he does not do well with regular gloves because he also has some sensory issues. So the flip-top mittens, you know, those mm-hmm. are hard to find in his size. And it's like, maybe I can have another pair there in that same size, and another kid who has, or a parent who's dealing with that, can be like, oh my God, look at these gloves. We only have to stick like one finger in, and then we're like flipping it over. So I think, you know, that might be a fun thing. I need to figure out where that box came from and what its deal was, but I'd like to pursue that.
Cool. As far as
thing.
As far as spinning goals, I would like to try to spin Angora.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm kind of afraid after the mohair incident, but I would like to try Angora. I can't stop myself just because I didn't like one fiber. And I would like to try knitting with crochet cast on.
You've not liked more than one. You didn't like the synthetic either.
Yeah, that's true. That didn't...
Synthetic's just like a whole category that... It's like, I've seen really good synthetics, but it's like, I don't even like synthetic fiber clothing. Like, it's mm-hmm. just a thing that doesn't feel, and it's not like, oh, that's bad, it's just, I don't like the way it feels.
Right, exactly.
Synthetics are its whole category, that does not count, that's just over there.
Some
I'm making wild gestures that nobody can see, and it's bothering me, because I'm doing all kinds of funny hand moves and face movements.
Some people have to use synthetic fibers because they have allergies. Okay, yes. Use synthetic fibers. I do not want to. I don't like it in my clothes. I wear cotton whenever I can. Wool, silk, love them all. And I want to spin natural fibers. So, yeah.
Synthetic fabrics and fibers have their place, especially as someone who's an outdoorsman. Yes, mm-hmm. wool is really great for, like, sleeping in, keeping warm. Cotton is really good for... Well, actually, when it comes to outdoor stuff, cotton isn't really great for anything. But when you have like your rayon and your vinyl or your polyester, those are really good for not only getting wet and drying quickly, but also as an insulative layer because they hold air. So yeah, there are a time and place for synthetics, but like tactility is usually not one of them.
Yeah.
Which that's one we talked about it earlier, but I didn't want to go into it. We can go into it now. When this kind of started was when I posted about the Kivik yarn.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm not saying it right, but it's from Alaska. It's from
Musk
the Muskox. And it is like one of the most expensive fibers you can ever get. And that is like a goal of mine to get some of that yarn for a couple of reasons. One, I agree with Tiny for the most part, but this yarn actually, it's much better than wool. So it rivals some of those non-synthetic things that you would use for warmth. It's supposed to be really good for people that have allergies. Like my mom cannot tolerate any wool at all, but she wants a warm scarf. And I'm like, I can never knit her any. Like she's like, I need a warm scarf, but she cannot tolerate any wool. And it's like cotton is only so warm.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that if I can ever afford to get that she'll be able, like, I could knit her some type of scarf thing, so that way she had half a warm scarf that does not cause her to break out.
That would be amazing. Yeah.
But it's, like, it's supposed to be, it's also great because you can knit it in a lace pattern, and it's, like, it's breathable, but it's so much warmer than any other fiber out there that it still will keep you warm. So you can have this really pretty dainty lace scarf that looks like you would provide no warmth and be like the warmest person on the street. That would be like, I have no plan in my life to ever be able to get that because it is not in my budget, but that would be a fun thing to do.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. I think that's it for my odds and ends this time.
Yeah. Same for me.
Then.
I'm done.
I'm done.
All right. Do you guys want to mention where they can reach us? I mean, either is the email knitspinpodcast@gmail. You guys want to call out your rivalries?
My rivalry is Super Chunks, and the story behind that name is for a different time.
That's right. But capital S and capital C.
Yes.
And my rivalry is Creations by Peaches, all lowercase, and Peaches is spelled without an E on the end. So it's P-A-C-H-S. That's also my Instagram, sort of. Instagram is creations.by.peaches, P-A-C-H-S. And that's where I have pictures of things I'm working on. I also sew, so there's a lot of projects I've sewn on there, but most recently I've been putting all of my spinning on there too.
We're also on Twitter at knitspinpod. Once I figure out how to log into that, we will have on that. I'm having some technical issues with that, but I think that pretty much wraps it up for our first episode. If you have any topics or ideas that you'd like us to talk about, go ahead and email us. Other than that, I think after this we'll just be post-edit stuff.